So let's give it up with the strobe lights for Glenn Zimmerman.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you very much. So first, before I really get into this, I just want you to know that I say this at the beginning of all presentations. It's your presentation. I've got a whole bunch of stuff planned, but I want you to stop me if there's something that you want more clarity on. We can dive into it, because very likely the person sitting next to you is going to have the same sort of questions. The other point I'll make, too, is that I'm not really sure who's in the audience. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to span everything from people who are just getting into video to people who really know it. And I promise all of you will get something. I won't talk over your head if you're just starting. And on the flip side, if you really get it, I still have some fun tips that we can also talk about from that standpoint. Sound good? Sound good? All right. So I'm going to move quickly. So slow me down if you need me to slow down. I'm totally just shout out. Be rude. I'm not going to take offense. So diving right into it, in all presentations I give, I always put my kids in the presentation, but I got to make sense of putting my kids in the presentation. So this is my daughter. Halloween's coming up. This was last Halloween. So notice the way she's positioned, right? She's got her outfit. If you could see it closer, she's got her makeup. She's got a whole plan together, and then her pose kind of accentuates it, so she's really driving it home, right? You take away any one of those things, and it's going to pull something away. Even the way the picture was taken, it was kind of off-centered a little bit. It's going to take something away. That's the whole idea of a campaign. It has to be holistic. So that's what I'm hoping at the end of this presentation you guys get, a holistic concept for a campaign, how to really think about all different facets of it, because in this day and age, it has become complicated. No question about it. Here is the list of the 7 tips. I'll show you now. I'll show you again at the bottom. And then if you want me to, I'm happy to share them with you. I can email them to you. Just come up to me afterwards. Or you can email me, because I'll also be putting my name and my email address and all that stuff up again. So starting off with the first one, that these videos are not for you. Does anybody know if they're not for you, then who are they for? Who said it? Yes, whoever said that gets a Mad Bear Productions cup. Because yes, they are. They're for your audience. And the reason why I want to make such a big deal about that is because so very often when we're working with a brand or working even with somebody who is another agency, right, they get so focused on what is important to them, their messaging, you know, their sell. You guys, I'm sure in some form of social media you've come across this, but with video it's so important for people to think that, and they need to see themselves in a certain way. We educate people all the time. It's not for you. It's got to work, and you're not your audience. So how do you then really get to understand your audience? And then how do you then figure out, well, what line of stories is really going to emotionally affect that audience? And so this is what we were starting to play a little bit before we started the presentation. So you guys heard a little bit of it. But back when I was a reporter, one of the things that we always used to joke around about is that there's thousands of stories to tell about any particular subject matter. You can approach it in 1,000 different ways. But what you really need to figure out is what story works for that particular audience in the best way. If you're working for a mass audience, that's one thing. So we thought it would always be a challenge to tell a story about a rock, because telling stories about things that are non-visual are certainly harder than telling things that were visual. So when I started my company, I thought, you know what, that's a really good way of making a point. So here is a story.
So you've got this great story. It's about a motorcycle. Or a band. Or something really visually exciting. That's fantastic. But what if your story is about a rock? So the first thing we need to figure out, what has this rock been up to? Where did it come from? How did it get here? What can you do with it? That was a stunt rock. You didn't actually think we would throw the rock. So now that you have all these possible stories, what you need to do is look at the audience. Who's going to see the video and decide which one of those stories speaks to that audience?
Let's say you're trying to speak to families. Well, the rock takes on a very different feeling in a child's hand. Now this is not just a story about a rock, but it's about the little girl's relationship with the rock, a powerful theme. You visualize in order to humanize.
It's really as easy as rock, paper, scissors.
Oh. yes, rocks were in fact harm smashed and thrown in the making of that video. I hope it doesn't offend anybody. So, but you get the point, right? You gotta understand your audience, and then to figure out how to connect with them, you really have to think to yourself, all right, what's important to them? Not me, what's important to them? And that's what you frame your video about. And the more we get into this conversation, you'll realize that it's not just framing one video. A campaign is not just one video, it's multiple videos that will be on multiple platforms. So the first thing we always ask a client, we're never asking a client, you know, clients come up to us and say, oh, I've got this great idea, we're gonna, you know, drop something off of a building, and then all these great ideas, and I'm like, that's fantastic, all great, but let's just slow down for a second. If this goes extremely well, like you could not be happier or your boss could not be more thrilled, what just happened? Are we selling more items? Are we getting more likes? Are we reaching a particular media publication to try to get yourself shown there? Like, what happened? What's the result? And then we do everything backwards from there, because everything has to drive that result. This isn't just about making beautiful images that, you know, it has to have some sort of business driver to it. So next question is, who's your audience? From who's your audience, then it's okay, where is this audience? You know, what platforms are they using? Because the video is gonna have to change depending upon what platform. Touched on it a little bit this morning, but like, you know, on Facebook, it's a different audience than YouTube. It's gonna autoplay on mute. You don't want really powerful audio starting off in your video if you're gonna put it on Facebook, for example. So you can use the same type of video, but you have to tweak it slightly. This is what I mean, right? And then at the end, then you can say, okay, what are the stories that are gonna activate this audience on these different platforms? So it's all in that order. That's kind of like the basics of storytelling. And now I'm kind of moving into this idea of making a snackable video. It's a term that I think I like using, but I mean, you guys have heard the term, snackable video? Yes, no? No? So snackable video, any guesses what it is? Anybody who knows? Short bite size, exactly. The big question I get a lot of the time is, what is snackable? Because the length of video, the average video, is shrinking. At this point, I would say anything under 30 seconds, but you could actually make an argument that anything under 15 seconds could be snackable. I would say anything over 30 seconds is almost now considered long form, which is crazy, back to thinking about my television days, you know, how that was. I mean, it's completely changed what the length of video is. But when you're thinking about a campaign, you're not necessarily just thinking about one of these sizes. You're thinking about multiple sizes for different platforms. I mean, it could be a limitation, like on Instagram, for example, you have a limitation as to how large the video can be. It's a minute, right? So you can't do anything larger than that. So as a result, okay, that video is gonna be under a minute. YouTube, you have larger videos. Facebook, you have larger videos. And if you're going outside and you're creating something, for example, on certain platforms where you're actually capturing it inside your phone or your device, then, or Periscope, where it's really long, right? Those all vary the length. Snackable, though, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, or shorter. And I wanna talk to you a little bit about how these videos become snackable and how they're consumed. We did a campaign with the Girl Scouts recently, and I just want to play a couple of the videos for you, because I want to show you that some of them are going to be produced, some of them are going to be fairly raw, and some of them are going to be branded, and some of them are going to have calls to action. And I'm just going to play like portions of three or four videos for you of, I think we did something like 100 different videos in this campaign, all right? But this will just give you a feeling for it, just to show you the variation in style.
Everybody will wear safety goggles when they go to make something blow up.
Right? 26 to 27 seconds, something like that. Real simple. To show people, hey, look, this is what Girl Scouts can do. It might not be what you think it is. Here's another one. This one's a little more branded, and it had specific messages that the client wanted to put in there.
Sometimes I struggle, and then one of my friends or someone new helps me up. Girl Scouts make me proud, and it makes me feel like I'm in a family. It makes me feel like I belong with every single one of these kids.
Troops are forming now, right? One not branded, just giving you a sense of them. This one more branded. So the next one is It's a little bit longer, and truly it's not snackable, but I just want to give it to you because it was a part of this campaign, and so you can start thinking about, oh yes, I'll stop. Fantastic question. I'm going to go through a campaign in a minute to give you more details on it, but to answer it right now, yes, but it depends. So if the longer video is really where you have your meat, right, and that's your goal, then yes, it's to drive to the longer video. But it might not be, right? It might be part of a social media or a social a content marketing campaign where you're just literally showing people every other day more content. And if you want to get a sense, like, for example, in this Girl Scouts campaign, we internally called it Beyond the Cookie, because when people think about the Girl Scouts, right, they think about the cookie, which is nothing wrong with the cookie. The cookie's fantastic. Everyone loves the cookie. They get plenty of play during cookie season, and it's great. But most people don't realize all the things that the Girl Scouts actually represent. I certainly didn't. I mean, this video I'm going to play for you right now is a great example. Really, what the Girl Scouts is, it's a leadership program for girls in an unbelievable way. I mean, and the impact is phenomenal. I mean, frankly, I asked my daughter if she wanted to get involved, and she said no, but I wanted her to. After being involved with this, because I too thought it was the cookie. So the point is, all of these videos that we're talking about here, they were used on social through mainly Facebook and Instagram to give people an overarching sense of the Girl Scouts are not just about the cookie. There's STEM, there's leadership, there's, you know, the ability to be a girl and just be yourself and not be judged and on and on and on, and basically define what Girl Scouts is through the content. So does that answer your question? But again, it wasn't driving to one video. It was basically about brand awareness. Yes? I did. That's how. No, she actually wanted to so badly. She wanted to so badly, but she couldn't figure out because there was other things she wanted to do in the afternoons. And she's seven. I can't force her to do anything, and I wouldn't want to. But when we were logging video, she would sometimes come by, because I sometimes work from home, and she'll hear and she'll come by. She's like, oh, that's that girl I like. And so, well, this is actually kind of funny. It doesn't mean anything, but it just shows you how the world is small. So I dropped my daughter off. This is about 3-4 weeks ago. I dropped my daughter off at her art class, right? And so she's really into art. And there's a girl who walks in right after my daughter. And I look at the girl, and I'm like, I know you. Why do I know you? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you were in one of these Girl Scout videos, and you don't know me. So I walked up to her dad. I introduced myself to her dad to say, hey, how you doing? I don't want to sound strange, but I know your daughter because of the videos. And he looked at me like, what? And then eventually he started laughing. So it just shows you how videos connect all the way around, right? But anyway, this next concept is really driving home that leadership idea. And the reason I want to include it is because it's not. It's animation. It's a simple animation that we use. Simple, it's powerful. So now we have some concepts of what the stories are going to be. We have an idea, okay, we need to focus on audience. Who are we driving toward? And I'm happy, by the way, to answer questions about audience for the Girl Scout stuff. I want to make sure we're getting through content. But slow me down if you want me to. But now the real question comes to, okay, what's the strategy? Because it's the most important thing. And in a campaign, I'm always starting with strategy. But I wanted to start with this other stuff first because I think it's more like in your face. The strategy stuff, the first part of a campaign. You can't do anything without figuring out, to your question, all right, what is our goal? What are we trying to drive toward? Are we trying to drive to that video? If we drive to that video, how are we tracking it? That's why 3 and 4 come together. You have to track everything and you have to have a strategy. So I want to use a project that we did with, it's a local hospital system, for those of you guys who are in the greater New York area, called Northwell Health. They recently rebranded. They used to be North Shore LIJ. And this is a very, very large hospital system. We're talking 60,000 plus employees, I think it's 21 hospitals, something like that, one of the larger ones actually in the country. And so they just went through this big transformation, and they decided that they wanted to do this big campaign to let everybody know we are Northwell and what that stands for. And what they stand for is innovation. So they decided to create 3 videos and push this campaign out during the NCAA March Madness tournament. 3 videos would be innovations in healthcare that are taking place at Northwell Health. So again, they're connecting themselves to innovation. And each one of these videos was to explain in an interesting, clever sort of way what these innovations were. And the end goal is not views, the end goal is votes. You, the viewer, are supposed to vote for one of these videos, which means that there's a true engagement. Okay? So I don't really, you know, if you got 2 zillion views, doesn't matter if you got 5 votes, you know. I asked them ahead of time, I said, what does success mean in terms of votes? And we were hoping for somewhere in the 50,000 range in terms of votes. It was going to be a 1-month campaign, 50,000 minimum. Anything beyond that, everybody was going to be really happy. So 3 main videos, we talked about how to do it, we talked stylistically about how to do it, but we needed more than just the 3 main videos, right? We needed those snackable videos, we needed teaser videos that we were going to use and put them in different places. So these videos went everywhere from like BuzzFeed to Facebook. They did do some social media push, paid push on Facebook. And what the campaign started, and you know, not everybody has the benefit of 60,000 employees, right? But very intelligently, they internally launched the campaign before they externally launched it. So they gave everybody the videos internally, and they said, hey, share this with your network, vote, encourage people to vote. And before it even launched to the public, we had already crossed 50,000 because of what they did and because the videos themselves and the concepts themselves were engaging. And by the way, lots of comments, obviously, on the videos, lots of likes, lots of shares, like all of that stuff being tracked as well. Correct. They weren't putting dollars behind it yet. They weren't actually announcing to the public, because what they also did, they had a cross promotion on some television stations telling people to actually go and to vote, right? There was all sorts of cross promotional stuff going on here. None of that stuff started. They literally did a soft launch internally to kickstart it. And they already crossed 50,000 votes internally within, I think it was like 48 hours. So by the end of the campaign, by the end of the month, it was nearly 500,000 votes. Because again, they had a very clear way of taking the content, pushing it out into all these different places, specializing the content for these places, and then making sure that all of it was being tracked. None of that would have happened without that clear plan and without being able to track it fully. I want to dive into this quickly. I could spend literally the entire time and I could spend the whole day talking about this sort of stuff. So I'm going to be real quick on this. And I'll also let you know that the interface you're seeing on Facebook, it was updated. I just did not have a chance to update the slides because they asked me to do this yesterday. So, and it was a presentation that I've given. Yes. Yeah, they created a landing page right on Northwell Health's main website, and that's where everything was. All the videos were, the 3 main videos were listed there, but those teaser videos, those were used all over the place. Interestingly enough, Facebook got the most amount of traction. YouTube got some, and BuzzFeed drove a ton when they went through BuzzFeed. But really what we found the most traction came from, which to me I was the most proud of, it was by what they were talking about earlier, that buzzable concept. People were sharing it. They would look at the videos. They thought the videos were so much fun. Like, we did fun things with it. Like, one of the videos was about, it was a machine that, when they charge your blood using this particular machine, it like I'll use the terms we used internally, it like supercharges your platelets so that your body won't clot in the same way. And so, I mean, think about the applications for like trauma victims, you know, so if an EMT had this machine, or like in the military, if like a soldier were hurt, you know, or even in surgery, they would reduce by something like 40% the amount of blood that would need to be in a transfusion, which, I mean, I learned a ton about this through the process, but, you know, a lot of people actually have bloodborne diseases and stuff and reactions to the blood that can happen that way. So, like, lives can be saved as well as, like, reducing the blood supply, like, all these tremendous things from it, right? So what we did was we turned the platelets into superheroes. And we put them on like little discs, and we put capes on them. And so while this very, very sciencey guy is talking about all the stuff that he's doing, right, we had you know, visual animations of like these platelet superheroes flying through the bloodstream, which that's what made it fun. It took it out of the context. So it worked for their audience very well. It was innovative, edgy, but it wasn't nonsensical. Yes, in the back. So in the Northwell campaign, you're saying? Yes. Yes, so I can talk to you a little bit about how we do that. Part of it, and it's somewhat of a playing off of what was said a little bit earlier in the conversation this morning, but the idea of figuring out what keywords of interest. So using Girl Scouts, you know, you can realize, all right, we're probably going to be talking more than likely, not entirely all the time, but more than likely you're probably talking to the mother and the family. And what sort of things is a mom of a young girl interested in? You know, so we actually did in that campaign, we did, and I'll show some of it in a second, we did a video seeding campaign. It's a native video advertising. You guys know what native advertising is? You know, basically, for those who don't, if you're on like CNN or Fox News or whatever, you know, you're reading an article, it'll say on the side, you might also be interested in, you've seen those sort of things, right? That's native advertising. Those are all actually paid posts. They're connected through keywords with particular topics so that there is actually a semblance of learning from it. It's not just a salesy ad. And it's actually those platforms that do this, if it were just a salesy ad, it would be rejected because it wouldn't work. It would have to be actually some content of interest. So the same thing works in the video world, and it gets pushed out to something like 40,000 plus publishers, has the potential, I should say, of being pushed out to that many publishers. But you can imagine that, you know, in this case, it wouldn't be necessarily being pushed out to, I don't know, like a gaming website. You know what I mean? That's not necessarily the website it would be pushed out, but it would be pushed out to like a parenting website, or, you know, maybe even a STEM website. Because, you know, a lot of mothers want their daughters to feel comfortable with STEM. And so we did a native video advertising campaign using YouTube as the driver there. And it worked really well. High completion rates, all that sort of stuff. I'm happy to, does that answer you? But in addition, when we're dealing with something like Northwell, it's a broad thing. We're literally, in that case, audience, everyone. We're trying to really create brand awareness, because at this point no one knows Northwell. They only know North Shore LIJ. They don't really have any idea what Northwell is and what it represents. And so that's what made it really fun too, is that we could actually help in branding what this new company is going to be. So going through this really fast, and like I said, this is an old interface, but the analytics are very similar. I just want to give you an idea of what you can actually get from just Facebook. And these are not from a paid ad. That's the one thing I wanted to tell you. You can get good analytics on Facebook. The big difference being some views are just views. And as you know, when it scrolls through, it counts as a view, whether or not you've seen it or not. So I don't really find that to be very important or significant. I didn't come up with this term, but it's a term that I like a lot. I find the word view, like a view, is a vanity metric. You know, it's really not particularly meaningful unless it's combined with some other metrics to give sense and scope to it. And so whether it's shares, one thing that I do like, and we were talking about this also this morning, is completion percentage. I also like, and I can show you this too, because Facebook has it as well. Well, you know, I'll show you first on this. This is Viral. This is a native video advertising platform, and we use this. But if you notice there on the left, you can see, and I'll show you right there, you can see right here the graph. That shows how a video is viewed. And for those of you who have not seen how video analytics work, you can actually you can visualize how someone views a video. And you can visualize how, you know, it's very engaged here. And as you can see, it like declined quickly, right? So when I first saw this, I was concerned. You know, I was like, how did we mess up? You know, we don't mess up, we messed up. Like, the engagement's terrible. Everybody's gone in like the first 20 seconds of the video. And then I went and I also looked closer, and we had a click-through rate here of like 12%. So suddenly I was like, oh no, it worked even better than I thought. Everybody's going to the website almost immediately, which is the end goal, and that's what the client wanted. They wanted everybody on their website because they just had launched a new website and they were trying to engage people that way. So the point for this is we're looking for patterns. We're looking at this data not only for patterns for now, but for the future. And what I mean by that is, so this right here if you look at that, like this section right here where it's red, this is called a heat map. So if you look at this section that's red, any idea what that might represent? This is the way a video was viewed. So you can see how over time it went down, but still, you know, we're still hovering around 35, 40% in terms of completion, which is good, which is good. I mean, most videos out there are like 15, 20%. So any idea what the red is? Nope. All good guesses, by the way. It's people who have watched the video in a particular spot more than once. So what I found, and it's the first time I started looking at this was like maybe 3-4 years ago, I noticed in the middle of a video one time, there was all of a sudden a huge spike in viewership. So it went from like, you know, 100, 90, 80, 70, 80. Huh? Like, why did it go back up? And the more I looked into it, the more I realized is that, and what's funny is now on heat maps across the board, whether it's YouTube or, in this case, this is another platform we use called Wistia. All heat maps show this, where videos were viewed more than once in a spot more than once. And I bring this up is because you're looking at patterns. I tell you every single time where I see a spike in a video, there's something important about that spot. And it's very important as marketers for us to look at that, because what that's telling you is that there's a large portion of the audience that finds that interesting. And so now what do I do with that? I take that information and I use it for full campaigns. I can do a whole video on just whatever that spike was, because I know that they liked it and they want more of it, and it helps tell me these things. So again, yes, correct. So right here is, this is the whole video. And when you hover, I you know what, this is a better one, I'll show you. Because this is gonna be YouTube's version of it, but you'll notice when that moves along, it'll actually show you, you know, the length of a video along the way. And so you can know, like, okay, when the video is 35% completed, which is exactly at this spot, this number of seconds, this is where the spike occurred. And you can connect the two directly. Does that answer? Yep. And so these are just also more analytics from YouTube. You can really get a lot of information. And this is not from paid stuff. This is just organic. Yes. 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 So, like, we've all done that. Oh, I want to see that again. And you click and you rewatch that same little section. When enough people do that, it actually comes through in the data, and you'll see a spike in the video in the heat map. Yeah. If you watch the whole thing from beginning to end again, yes. Yeah, it would also show that too. And then it wouldn't be statistically important, because you wouldn't see a change in that user. But, I mean, you would see the view change. So it would show up in another place. So again, that's why I find views to be a vanity metric. It's just really isolated in and of itself. Everybody likes, I'm even gonna show you something where I'm gonna like talk to you about how many views it has. But anytime you hear that, immediately get skeptical. Because it's really, views and impressions and all those sort of things, yay. I mean, I don't know, it's meaningless without more. It's easy to get, and it's easy to brag about, and it's easy for people who don't understand what this all means to be duped into thinking it's good. And that's the part, you know, I'm being a little bit cynical about it, but I'm doing it on purpose, because it kind of bothers me when people are being kind of like duped into it. Yes. Yeah, so for, I like using like a minute and a half video as a benchmark length. Because when people think about, not the snackable stuff, but when people think about those, you know, more meaty videos, that's the length. And industry standard is, if it's anything over 15 or 20% completion rate, you're doing fine. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about Facebook, because Facebook has its own numbers. I'm talking about YouTube, okay? So with YouTube, I think that's great. Same thing with like Wistia, or if you're using Brightcove or Limelight or Vimeo and you're embedding it on another site. If you're getting, you know, a 15 to 20% completion rate, it's good. Anything beyond that, I think, is very good. For the shorter videos, you know, if it's like 15 seconds, you really should be over 50%. You know, that means, to me, if they're not gonna watch 15 seconds after they clicked on it, that tells me that you're not actually following through on the promise that you gave them from the beginning. You know, why they clicked on it at the beginning. Because who doesn't have 15 seconds? You know, if they, oh, I wanna see that, and you click on it, you gotta get out real quick if you're seeing there's 10 seconds left and, you know, you don't wanna see it. So Just as a note to everybody, I just got the 10-minute warning that we have 10 minutes left. I want to make sure that, are you guys getting what you need? Ask me questions, stop me. Do you want to stop right now and specifically talk about stuff, or do you want me to wrap up? All right, I'll try to go real fast here. So the next one is explore new technology, and it's across the board. You know, it's from the actual capture of the information to the delivery to the analytics afterwards, because all of these things are constantly changing. I'll also run through it fast here. So what we're really talking about is making video interactive when we're talking about the delivery. So these are simple interactive things that have been around for a while, polls and clickable videos and opt-ins. There's so many more. Look for these sort of opportunities. Anything where you can make it interactive and you can engage people, use those newer technologies. For social media, you gotta do things in a way that encourages people to come back and say something. We did a campaign, one of the videos with the Girl Scouts, which if you want to later on I can play for you, where it's a girl who's picking up trash and she picks it up and she's like, ew, like she's like, and it's really funny, right? Now, is it positive? Is it like, yay, 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 rah, rah, Girl Scouts? No, but it's not real to do that all the time. We want to encourage people to go, oh my God, I was doing that too. We want interactivity, we want engagement, right? So don't only think about pushing out your message, think about how can you make this interactive, make this back and forth. And then back to the technology component, augmented reality, gamification, these are big terms, and virtual reality. And I brought here, this is a virtual reality camera. I'll be doing a presentation on it at 2 o'clock. So, but I'm happy if you guys want to, I'm happy to pull it out and show it to you right now. I personally, we've invested pretty heavily in VR. I think it's here to stay, it's not a trend. I think right now, it's the beginning of it. I think we're not, this time next year, boom. You already see where dollars are being spent. So I think technology in the right way will help you stay on the cutting edge of what your strategy is. And in fact, I could show it to you really fast. This is a campaign that we actually, it's a new virtual reality platform. I told you I was going to brag about numbers. We launched this yesterday and we're at, or 3 days ago, and we're almost at 24,000 views. I need to look a little, but the shares are at 52, 143 likes, and it's a global VR platform. So this is, I want to show it to you. It's called VR. It's actually based in China or Hong Kong. But I want to show it to you because there's always new things coming up, especially when you're going into new technologies. And they're actually were able to drive quite a lot of eyeballs in a very short period of time. So, and this is my little thing. I really like animated GIFs. I find them so fun. And so we do a lot of stuff with animated GIFs. The video that I have there is a virtual reality experience with a roller coaster. And so we created a little animated GIF, click here. Now, these can be posted, of course, on emails, websites, social media. There are platforms that you can use. I just want to give you this little tip. If you want to check out this particular website, IMG Flip, we use it. It's like, I think, $9.95 a month. And what they let you do is they let you upload video to the platform and they create an animated GIF out of the video that you could either download and then use and embed in your emails and whatever, or you actually have an HTML version that you can customize the HTML so you can make it clickable and it's fully trackable and everything else. And it's also another platform where people are actually coming to view video, so you actually get an extra amount of views in the platform itself. I think one of this video got something like 1,000 views just from being a GIF sitting there. Another thing to look at if you have it on your phone, and it's been out a while, but brands should start using Boomerang. I don't know if you guys do things on Instagram, but I love Boomerang and I love Hyperlapse. Boomerang creates the effect where it's like, it's a motion and it goes back and forth. It takes a second of video, moves it forward and moves it backwards. And it already is, because it's owned by Instagram, it's already in an animated GIF format. And Hyperlapse just takes video and speeds it up. So yes, yep, $9.95 a month. You get to use it as much as you want. There are special things that you can buy from them, like every other platform where they actually do promotional posts. And you can pay for those. But to do it the way I like to do it, which is I download the GIF, I use it however I want to, I can use the HTML they give me however I want to, $9.85. All right, and the final one is just constantly engage. And what I mean by that is constantly thinking to yourself, what is it that the audience would be interested in? What would make them curious? What would make them watch? And constantly be thinking that. Like, don't ever let it go. Take every opportunity you see. If there's something that, you know, the best stuff that we're shooting, like, just a little bit about the way we approach video, we don't do a lot of scripted video. We always find, I mean, it has to do with my background a lot, but we find that, you know, truth is a lot stranger than fiction. And so you plan as much as you can, and then when we go out and we shoot, we're constantly looking for fun little moments here or there that could, in fact, make something better. And so the example I'll give you with this is that recently we launched a new website, and people on my team were asking, hey, you know, are we going to have a party? Are we going to do something? We need to let everybody know. It's a new website. Yay. And I was like, it's not really like us to do that. That's just so, like, self-congratulatory, and, like, that's not like us. And I was like, what if we did a little campaign? And we came up with this concept called the Fist Bump Challenge. And the whole idea of the Fist Bump Challenge was, you know, we are a storytelling company. The whole purpose of what we do is we want to connect people. And so we connected that concept to, in this day and age, regardless of what your political beliefs are, we are a fragmented society. We're very separated, right? So let's all come together, let's connect, let's bump fists, and yes, it's all for the launch of the website, right? We got so excited, we went around, so we did one video, pushed it out on social, and we encouraged other people to do the same concept and share their fist bump. And it took on some life of its own because people enjoyed the whole concept of fist bumping. And I'll play it for you real quick.
All right, fist bump challenge, here we go.
Woohoo! Fist bump.
Not high production value, guys. This is on a phone.
Fist bump challenge, awesome. Yes,
yes, yes, yes.
Boom! Have a great one.
Thank you. Fist bump.
That's all it's all about. It's just to connect with people and to constantly be thinking about how do I engage better. So with that, I think we probably have a couple minutes left. Here are the 7 things. If you want to take a picture of it, reach out. I'll send it to you. And I'll also be putting up, you know, my contact information. But before we wrap it up, does anybody have anything that they want to ask now? I mean, feel free to stay and ask afterwards as well. Yes, in the way back. So, all right. It's a little bit more of a complicated one because it depends upon whether or not you're paying for the Facebook. If you're doing it organically or not, it's harder to get a completion rate on Facebook. So take all of those numbers and drop them down is really what it comes down to. So, you know, I would say what normally would be 15 to 20, maybe 10 to 15 on Facebook. You know, for a shorter video, I'm saying it's 50 on YouTube. I mean, really, it's probably 35 or 40 on Facebook. It's not even lower. I don't like using completion percentage on Facebook as much because it is such a wonky platform that way. I'm looking much more at shares and likes on Facebook. Those are the metrics that I find more interesting. While on YouTube and other platforms, I do like completion percentage. Does that help? Anyone else?
So we're actually out of time.
Okay.
But what I know, Glenn's back, like he said, at 2:00 for his next session. But you're going to obviously be around, so if anyone has any questions over the break, feel free to just come on up and talk to them. But let's hear it for Glenn. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
awesome
guys.
Job.
Thank you very much.